faking it gets exhausting. Here, we keep it real.
Hi, my loves. Welcome back to another episode of the Curls and Courage podcast, where we focus on leveling up your body and leveling up your mind. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, mental health advocate, coach, and athlete, aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. I am so glad you're here. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to today's show. I always love connecting with you guys and try to keep it as real as possible. I really try to be open. So let me just give you the rundown of how my week is going before we jump into today's Q&A. What do I want to update you guys on? So I am filming right now. It is a Monday. Show's going to come out on Thursday. I'm flying out next week on Tuesday to Vegas to compete in my first show of the year. So I'm super excited. Dealing with all the prep feels for sure. So y'all just don't hate me today if my brain's a little bit all over the place. I'm trying to keep it together, but that brain fog is definitely coming in. Super excited though. Overall happy with how my body composition is looking. And I feel like we're going to bring a unique package to the stage this year. And this show will also just give me a lot of clarity. So dieting pretty hard right now, just focused on leaning down, getting the conditioning I need these last couple of weeks. And other than that, just staying consistent with the posing, staying consistent with the training, the nutrition, all of that good stuff, so we can look the best that we can in Vegas and party after. You feel me? It's going to be a good time. Also, y'all hit me up if you know anything in Vegas, anything fun to do. It's a place that I've never been, but seems like a really cool city. Let's see, what else is going on with me this week? Trying to find a new car, which honestly is like a full-time job in itself. I swear, I'm not a car enthusiast or anything, but now I could tell you guys so much about cars. I'm doing so much research, really trying to find what's the best fit for me. Something that's reasonable, but something that I actually like as well. I totaled my car a couple weeks ago. Made a podcast about that actually as well. It was episode number 67 titled, I Couldn't Walk, Then I Almost Died, Choosing Resilience Through Chaos. Y'all be sure to check out that episode. It was one that was honestly kind of traumatizing, but I try to make light out of every situation, at least best as I can. It's a funny episode for sure. We're still in the process of finding this new car. And I think it's just going to take some time. So I'm trying to be patient with it, but also be diligent in searching, make sure I'm not getting scammed here in Miami trying to buy a new car. To me, these last couple of weeks before I hop on stage, I'm really just trying to lock in, handle what I need to for work, make sure everything is prepared ahead of time, and continue to make progress in my business, my personal life, and finding a reliable vehicle. I hope y'all have been having a blessed week as well, and I'm super excited for today's Q&A style episode. I actually posted an Instagram story about 3 or 4 days ago asking you guys to send in questions, and you guys did not disappoint. What I want today is I want you guys to feel like you're just on a nice little FaceTime with your homie. You feel me? We're talking daily routines, training and nutrition, mental breakdowns, wild Miami stories, and all things in between. Y'all are going to love this one. Let's go ahead and get into the question. So first question is, what does a typical day look like for you? All right. So what I love about my job is every day really is different. I am not someone who could ever sit there and live like the 9-to-5 lifestyle. I like things to change a little bit, but I also think it's important to have some structure and some routine so you don't go crazy. So what I like to do when I'm planning my days to make sure that I am prioritizing my time well, getting the most out of every day and being productive, I like to do what's called time blocking. So of course, I have a specific time for the most part that I get up every day and a pretty specific time that I also go to bed because I do get up pretty early. So what I do is try to plan the hours of my day from basically waking time until I go to bed, what work that needs to get done. And that helps me prioritize things a lot better. And again, just ensure that I'm on track for my goals. So I'm going to read off a time block schedule that I have for you for just a specific day. I will say for anyone who is an entrepreneur and works in multiple different areas or has multiple streams of income, time blocking is a great way to keep you organized and to keep you on track again. So let's see here. For example, this is what I wrote down for my schedule for today. And I basically do this every single night before I go to bed. So wake up time, 4:45 a.m. I got to get ready, send a check-in to my coach from 6 a.m. to 10:15 a.m. I have back-to-back clients, 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. I got to come home, record a podcast, order a couple prescriptions. At some point, I put down, eat meal, and then get ready for the dermatologist. 12:30 to 2 p.m., I'll have a dermatologist appointment. From 2:30 to 4 p.m., I do client check-ins, and then I finish whatever I can with my podcast, editing, whether that's putting the pieces together, sending it off to the radio show that I work with, work on creating more content. 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., I'm going to be at the gym training. I said I'm going to try to be home by 7 p.m., post more content, finish editing the podcast if I didn't edit it already, look at some more cars because I really need to purchase a new car as soon as possible and try to make an informed decision. And then I put sleep by 10 p.m. And then I also put at the end of this note, refuse to live a life that you are unhappy with, which is such a good quote. Sometimes I feel like before I like plan out my day, I just need to have like an encouraging message for myself as well. So that's what a day somewhat looks like for me. Typically, I'll train clients pretty early in the morning and I'll work on a little bit more podcasts, social media, content work, brand deals, and anything like that. I try to really work on more in the afternoon. It really just depends on, you know, the day, but that's somewhat of a schedule to give you guys an idea. Have you ever had a breakdown during contest prep or training and what caused it? Okay, multiple times have I had a breakdown. In bodybuilding, you really are pushing yourself to the extreme, not just in a physical way, but also in an emotional and a mental way. So I've definitely had my fair share of breakdowns. I have gotten a lot better with this as I've gained more experience and knowledge in the sport, just managing my emotions and managing how challenging prep is. But I'll give you guys a couple scenarios. The first breakdown I would say that comes to mind is actually whenever I lived back home in Alabama. I remember coming home from the gym and I was so tired. I'd been working really long hours and all I wanted to do was just make my meal, go to my bed, watch a little bit of YouTube and go to sleep. You feel me? So I'm like getting my meal all together and it's not that big of a meal. It's really just like some salad and some beef. I'm really taking my time though to cook this beef. I'm trying to make this salad be as good as possible. So I get it all together. I'm like so tired. It's like 8 or 9 p.m., but I've been up since like 4 in the morning. And then I go to eat my meal, bring it into my bedroom, and then I drop the entire plate of salad all over the floor, the meat, everything that I've spent my time cooking, and I just start like bawling. And my family, my mom and my brother are in the kitchen at the time, and they're like, are you okay? Like, it's just a salad. And I'm like, it's not this one thing. The issue was not that I dropped my salad. It was all of these other things compiled onto one another, just like the extreme exhaustion. And that was like the last straw. So I just like went to my room to like calm down for a minute. And then I go back in the kitchen and they're literally remaking my meal for me. My brother is cutting up the lettuce. My mom is making the beef. It was so sweet just to have that extra helping hand. So that I remember. Freaking out over for sure. Another scenario that was kind of funny and definitely would be considered a mental breakdown was when I first got into competing, or I guess like 2 years after I started competing, I was going to a show called North Americans. It's a very competitive national level bodybuilding competition, and I was staying with my coach and his wife at the time. And I remember we were like 2 days out from our show. You always want to get to a national show a little bit early just so you have plenty of time to kind of get your body adjusted to a new routine and to make sure, you know, you're in a new place. So you want to make sure that everything is just going as smoothly as possible. Your body's already stressed and you want to try to mitigate that as much as possible. It's like 10 p.m. and we're getting ready to kind of like wind down and eat our last meal and go to sleep. And with my coach staying there with me, he is asking me all of this biofeedback in person, right? Like, how am I feeling? We're taking a look at my physique. We're talking a little bit about my digestion. And I realized that the whole time that we had been on this trip, which was only a couple of days, I hadn't used the restroom. Okay. And digestion is super important when you're competing because you don't want to be holding on to anything. You want your midsection to look as flat as possible. And so I remember telling my coach that I hadn't like used the restroom yet. And he's like, it's okay. Like, you know, we'll try to do some different protocols, maybe eat something a little bit greasy that gets you going. There's a couple things that we can try. but I just start freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm never going to be able to go to the restroom. Like my digestion's messed up. My show is messed up. And I just start literally having a panic attack. So I start freaking out. I go outside and I'm like pacing around this Airbnb complex or whatever, this hotel complex that we're in, just bawling, crying for no reason, just because I can't go to the restroom. So that I remember really freaking out about. I was on the phone with my mom, and I should have been at this point just like not stressing out my body. I should have been just trying to rest versus getting up and like getting a ton of movement in when I'm super depleted, feeling super foggy in my mind, drinking all of this water, trying to flush out my system. The best thing to do in any insane situation is honestly just stay relaxed. But at the time, I could not do this. But yeah, those are the probably two most clear situations that I can think of just on the spot. Next question is, what is the most fun part about building a business? Okay, this is easy answer for me. When you're building a business, you are completely in control of how you want to do things. You are creating something that is entirely yours and you're fully in charge. So it's kind of a mix of freedom, challenge, creativity, and quick problem solving. Every day, like I said, is different to some extent. So I feel like it keeps it really fun and exciting. A day that I have is never, I would say, really boring. I mean, there's definitely tasks that I do every day that I don't necessarily like. There's definitely negatives to running a business too, which a lot of people don't see. I mean, it's a lot of added stress. There's financial highs and lows. There's a lack of stability. There's an insane amount of responsibility you have because everything falls on you to get done. But the pros for me always outweigh the cons. And again, it's definitely exciting to be working on something that is completely yours, something that I'm really, really grateful for. And I do love being an entrepreneur, and I'm always excited to see like where the next step in my entrepreneurial journey takes me. I don't talk about that as much on the podcast, but it's definitely something that's a big part of my life. Next question. Do you ever regret moving to Miami, and would you ever move back to your hometown? Also, I've heard Miami is pretty wild. That's so true. Have you ever seen anything unforgettable or crazy while living there? Okay, so first part of your question, no, I definitely never regret it, and I wouldn't move back home, even though I do think about it almost every single day. It's just tough because I'm a family person. I really miss my family, and a lot of just of the morals here, I guess, don't really align with my values. So it can be a little bit more difficult to stay grounded. But definitely, again, with this situation, the pros outweigh the cons. Miami has helped me in so many ways and teaches me to grow still every single day. Although I definitely do not see myself here long term, I know that it's good for the moment, and I'll definitely be here for at least another year. Second part to your question, Miami is crazy as hell. I see something unforgettable or crazy at least twice a week, to be honest, usually more frequently. So I'll tell you just a couple things. All right. First off, just this morning, as I was walking to work, I see a guy literally peeing on the street, like junk out and everything, just enjoying the moment. This guy's just peeing out on the street, like no bathroom around. Guess I'm just going to go here. Last weekend, I was at the beach. I see a guy giving a girl head just slightly outside the shoreline near some palm trees, like not even in the bedroom, like can't even wait a couple minutes to get it freaky, get it on. Like, let me just do it right on the beach. That's Miami for you. When I'm walking to work in the mornings, again, I love the walkability here, but I usually get up pretty early. A lot of times my first client is around 6 a.m. So plenty of times it'll be just like a random Wednesday morning, and I'll see girls just getting home from the club. It's like 6 a.m. on a Wednesday, and these girls are just getting home from the club. Like, what do you need to be out doing that late? I don't understand it. It's a little crazy for sure. Like, I'm down to party, have a good time, but like on a Wednesday, girl, you got to be a different type of girl doing all that. Let's see. Another thing. Okay. As I was walking to work again, it's always these walks to work. A couple of weeks ago, I had a guy not even standing far away from me at all, like distance, actually pretty close. I'm like not on my guard as much as I probably should have been. But this was like a guy who was either homeless or maybe he was under the influence. Like, I'm not really sure. But he takes his hand and he holds it up towards my head. Like, he's making his hand look like a gun, basically. His thumb is what's shooting the gun. He just starts making gunshot sounds and firing his little handmade pistol at my head. And so I just start running at that point. And I'm like, man, that was not something I was expecting at 5:45 in the morning. And you just never know with people. Like, you just have to be careful here. A couple of days later, I remember again walking to work. I had a homeless guy call me a black witch. I was like wearing an all black outfit. He's like, are you a witch? You're the black witch. Don't put your spells on me. And I'm like, I'm not a witch. Like, I'm just trying to get to my job. So that was pretty crazy. Definitely shook me up a little bit. I've had multiple people slam into my car while it's parked here and not even let me know. Multiple hit and runs. I've also had people quite literally almost run me over as I'm crossing the street here. People being in a rush 24/7 and not caring about really anyone else's lives other than themselves, or the fact that pedestrians do have the right of way. So it can be pretty crazy. And again, these are just off of the top of my head. If I took more time to actually think about it, I could tell you so many stories. Overall, the people are crazy. The traffic is crazy. The lifestyle is crazy. And it can consume you if you let it. I just choose to stay grounded and honestly kind of be a lone wolf out here. But again, overall, I'm super grateful to live in Miami. It's a beautiful place and it definitely comes with a lot of pros as well. What is the most extreme thing you've done for a photo shoot or a competition? I have pushed my body to an extreme multiple times. Honestly, every competition I've ever prepped for has been extreme sacrifice, whether it's the extreme training, the extreme dieting protocol, the cardio protocol, the lack of sleep that you're getting because you're having to wake up early, go to bed late, and then also your hormones are just at that point not in a very optimal range. So when your hormones aren't where they should be, it can be really impactful for a lot of different things. One of those being your sleep. You're not going to get the best sleep quality. Your body's really hungry. Your cortisol is high and your body's just not able to regulate in the way that it would if you were getting a little bit more nutrients. One story that comes to mind for me was a show I did about 2 years ago. I remember being extremely depleted, extremely dehydrated at this time. And it was right after the morning show. So for those of you who don't know about competing, you have like a morning and a night show. Typically the morning show starts around 9 a.m. and the night show starts around 6. But you're not going to go on until usually way later past those times, depending on what class you're in, because the shows are really large. Okay, so I think I had went on around like 12 p.m. in the afternoon that day. And my look was just not as dry and not as, what's the word, sharp as we needed it to be. And I was still holding on to a little bit of fluid. So what we needed to do was, number one, just not drink any water. We needed to make sure the body was looking more dry, looking more hard. And we had already done a whole water loading protocol where we were drinking a ton of water, like probably 300 ounces the day before, and then almost cutting the water completely when it got to show day, just barely sipping on enough water to kind of get me through. So again, you're feeling super dehydrated after coming off of drinking such an insane amount of water, but I still needed more of this water to come off of me and I still needed to look more lean and dry. So what I had to do was stand in like a super hot shower and also get super hot towels and lay them like all over my body as that hot water was running over me for about 20 minutes, or maybe it was longer. I was really standing in that shower, I would say, for literally as long as I could stand it to try to make my physique look better for finals. That was going to be in a couple hours. And then we had just planned to kind of redo the tan, redo the makeup, but just make sure the physique was looking on point. I definitely felt like I was going to pass out 100% of the time that I was in that shower. Just to make sure I didn't, I remember having, I think it was again, my mom coming in clutch, talk to me the entire time, just to make sure I'm having conversation. Like, I'm staying strong, I'm staying steadfast. I mean, that was the most uncomfortable shower I would say that I've ever had. But I will say my physique ended up looking a lot drier. I ended up losing some weight from that and my physique looked a lot better on stage for finals, and it probably helped me a lot with my placing. So definitely something that I don't regret, but that's one extreme protocol. Like, I could just tell y'all so many more. It's kind of fun though. Sometimes I'm like, man, my body is like a science experiment. But yeah, definitely you have to make extreme sacrifice, something I don't recommend. Next question, how important is nutrient timing? Do pre and post workout meals really matter? And then what do you usually eat before and after you train? Okay, so like a three-part question. First off, nutrient timing is very important. Pre and post-workout meals definitely do matter. So you want to try to think about using food as fuel. And the importance of a pre and post-workout meal, I would argue that those are the most two important meals that you're going to eat throughout the day if you are training. If you're not fueling yourself before and after you train, number one, your performance is going to suffer. Number two, your recovery is going to suffer. And then also, I think just your body composition will suffer. So example is this. Say you are getting on a plane, you have this flight booked to Dubai and you're super excited. You're about to turn up. You're about to get your bag in Dubai. You're about to have all this fun, whatever. So you get on this plane and it's on the runway. It's about to take off. But then the pilot tells you, hey guys, we're not going to be able to fly this plane today because we have no fuel. The plane is built to take off, but it's grounded without energy. That's the same way your body works. If you have no energy to push from, your performance will suffer and your physique will suffer. And again, your recovery will suffer. So what you're really looking for before and after you train are going to be a significant amount of protein and a higher amount of carbohydrates. Protein is going to be the building blocks of your muscle cells. And then your main energy source is going to be carbohydrates. You don't really need a lot of fats, I would say, before and after you train, because that's actually going to slow down digestion and you want a meal that's going to digest pretty fast and pretty easily. So you could have some fats in your pre and post workout meal, but I would say not to go above like maybe 5 grams, 10 grams at most. But really, I like to err on the lower side of that. What I typically eat, and I've been eating this for years, before I train, I have 93.7 ground turkey, and then I pair that with usually cream of rice and fruits. I love Flavor Gang's rice cereal. I can leave that in the show notes below, but it's more of like a flavored, almost like a flavored oatmeal. It's really sweet, so it just tastes good, and then pairing that again with a fruit is really good, and then I always put a little bit of pink salt on top of both of those as well. And then post-workout is usually pretty simple for me. It's going to be some source of protein, usually chicken with rice and veggies, usually a jasmine rice, and then usually non-green vegetables. So it may be like peppers, onions, something like that. So again, something I know is going to sit well in my stomach and digest fairly fast. And as far as the nutrient timing too, I would try to eat something about 30 minutes to an hour before you train. And then same thing about 30 minutes to an hour after. You don't want to eat a meal at, 7 in the morning and then go train at 12 p.m. and think your workout's going to be productive and optimized, because it's not. What is the difference between training for strength versus hypertrophy, and how should your workouts change depending on which one you're training for? Strength, you're training for performance. So it's more like, how heavy can I lift? Hypertrophy, on the other hand, is when you're training for aesthetics. So that's what I do, increasing skeletal muscle mass. There are a lot of different factors that go into training for strength versus training to build muscle. So I'll tell you the main ones that you want to consider. When it comes to your workouts, first thing that's going to change is your rep scheme. When you're training more for strength, you're going to want to stay in more of like a 3 to 6 rep range. When you're training more for aesthetics and hypertrophy, you're going to want to stay in more of like an 8 to 15 rep range, so a little bit higher. Next thing that's going to change is obviously your weight. So strength, you're trying to train very heavy for low reps, so you're going to use more resistance. When you're training for muscle mass, on the other hand, you still want to use a very heavy working weight. But it doesn't need to be like you're trying to hit a max weight every single time that you lift. Because again, in my opinion, if you're trying to stimulate that muscle growth, you're going to want to train at least 6 repetitions at the very minimum if you're training for more hypertrophy. And like I mentioned, I really like more like that 8 to 15 rep scheme personally. So weight's going to change. Your rest periods are going to change. When you're lifting super heavy for low reps, you're going to need to rest probably 3 to 5 minutes in between your sets. When you're training more for hypertrophy, I would say anywhere from like 45 seconds to 2 minutes, depending on the exercise. Your tempo will change. When you're training more for strength, you're going to want to be very explosive. Hypertrophy, you're going to want to really slow things down and focus on that mind and muscle connection. You can still add in a little bit of explosiveness here and there, but for the most part, again, you're trying to feel your muscles contract, adding in some static holds, adding in more time under tension, really stimulating that muscle growth best as you can. And then last two things I would say, volume is number one. volume is going to be the amount of sets and reps that you're doing. So we talked about the rep scheme. Volume, we're going to talk a little bit more about the sets. So you may do for hypertrophy sets of about 8 to 12 reps, we'll say, but you're only doing maybe 3-4 sets, and only 2 of those I would say need to be hard working sets. For strength, you may be doing sets of like 3 reps, even 2 reps sometimes, but you may do 6-7 sets. So that's going to be a big difference because, again, you're training for strength. You're not training for the way that you look. And then also exercise selection. This is a big one. So compound versus isolation exercises. When you're training for strength, you want to focus on those big compound movements. That's your squat. That's your deadlift. That's your shoulder press. That's your bent over rows. But when you're training for hypertrophy, you're still going to definitely want to include some of those major compound lifts, but you're also going to want to add in some accessory and isolation work. So that would be, for example, like a bicep curl. That would be like a tricep pushdown. Things like that that are not training so many muscle groups and so many joints at once. And I will say also, just something I wanted to mention, you can definitely mix in training for strength and training for hypertrophy, but I do think it's important to know which one is your more specific goal in order to cater your training towards that. But even when you're training, a lot of times for building muscle mass, you're also increasing your strength. So you have to keep that in mind, and then vice versa as well. Okay, next question. This is number 7. So we'll do a couple more. I've been listening to your podcast for almost a year now, and you speak a lot on mental health and your personal journey. Any advice for overcoming anxiety and intrusive thoughts? Also, thank you for being so vulnerable. Your episodes are so motivating and always put me in a better mood. Oh, that's so sweet. Honestly, thank you so much. First off, I really appreciate you listening to my content. I do try to be vulnerable as I can, and it's tough sometimes. When it comes to anxiety and intrusive thoughts, to be honest with you, I don't think that's something that you can ever really fully overcome, or at least I haven't been able to. However, what I have done and what I have learned is how to manage intrusive thoughts and anxiety better. So one piece of advice that I definitely recommend is learning how to self-regulate. So learning how to kind of regulate your central nervous system and control these thoughts. When you are having an anxiety attack or these negative thoughts come in your mind, you need to think about, what do I need to do right now to make me feel better, to get myself back in track, to get rid of these negative thoughts? So maybe it's movement. That's a lot of times what it is for me. Maybe it's calling a loved one. Maybe it's having a 3-minute dance party, just getting your mind off of things, again, moving your body. Maybe it's taking a few deep breaths. I can't tell you what the best method of self-regulation is for you, but I can tell you that's the way to go about things. And the best way to learn that is by trying new things and seeing what makes you feel better. But all of these things will work to some extent. Again, movement is a great way. Deep breathing is a great way. There's a lot of scientific studies behind these protocols, but you have to find which one that you like and helps you feel better. Next thing would be understanding your thought patterns and just being more self-aware. I do speak a lot on self-awareness because I think it's a practice everyone needs to incorporate in their life. So knowing what you're thinking and understanding it rather than fearing why you have these thoughts can be important. For example, you may be thinking, what is wrong with me? Why am I thinking this when you're having a negative thought? But you have to learn to reframe your thinking to, my mind is just doing that thing again. Like, this isn't me. This is only a thought. This is only a moment, and it will pass. That's something that just takes time. I'll be honest with too, because your brain is not automatically going to think about the positives. It's going to think about the negatives, and it's going to think about the fears and the negative things going on in your life. But once you learn how to shift that perspective and change that yourself, I'm telling you, that's going to help you drastically. So I hope that that helps. All right, number 8. What is the most ridiculous thing that you've seen or heard in the fitness industry so far? There are so many things that are just absolutely absurd in my industry right now. It literally makes me angry. So first one is pretty basic and it's overused, but it's one that comes to mind. If you lift heavy and you're a female, you're going to get bulky. This is not true. I lift as heavy as possible 5 days a week, and I struggle to put on muscle mass. That's just not going to happen. You have to be eating an extreme amount of food. You have to be taking some sort of performance-enhancing drug to get that big as a female. Your body is just not going to be able to get that big. It's just not going to happen. Most people aren't even willing to push themselves to the extreme in order to even grow a little bit of muscle, much less get bulky, okay? Next thing I hate hearing is you need a waist trainer to get a smaller waist. You do not. My waist shrinks during contest prep. It shrinks if I'm dieting, and I don't even wear a waist trainer. A waist trainer can be used as a tool if you're wearing it for, I would say, at least 7 hours a day, which most people are not. But I think once you start to use that 7 hour a day protocol, it can mess up your digestion a little bit. It can shift the organs in your body. I just don't think it's a very healthy protocol. The only reason that I would use a waist trainer, maybe like deep in prep, is to honestly lessen my appetite because it's kind of sucking and pulling everything in. It sometimes makes you feel a little bit nauseous, which I don't recommend, or wearing a waist trainer while you're training to help with a little bit of back support. I've done that sometimes too. If I don't have like a belt with me or I don't want to wear a belt, then it can be good for heavy movements that are using your back, maybe like a deadlift or a hip thrust or even like a squat variation. Last one I'll say is detox teas and juices will flatten your stomach. Y'all, I hate this. This makes me so mad. Your liver is your detox system, and what you need is diet and exercise. That's what's going to flatten your stomach. Telling you straight up. All right, next question. Let me not get mad. What is your favorite advice for someone wanting to start doing more in the social media space? I always watch your speaking videos and would love to create similar content. I feel like it's just so hard to put yourself out there. Okay, so first off, thank you so much for watching my content. It's really fun for me to make, and I put a lot into it, so I really appreciate you. Let me know if there's something in particular that you want to see from me. And then also, last part to your question, it is really hard to put yourself out there, but that's my best piece of advice. If I could give you just one, you have to be willing to place yourself in a position that's a little bit uncomfortable and honestly not care what anyone thinks, which can be hard. But if you like the content that you're posting, if you feel like it's providing value, you never know. It could be helping even just one person and being impactful to that one person who really needs to see something. So I think in my past, I viewed social media as a little bit more of a negative outlet, and it can be kind of toxic, no lie. But once you again reframe your mindset to like, okay, there's some toxic things online. There's some things that are not true. There's some really bad trends out there. But you may be that one person who's highlighting a good trend or highlighting a good accomplishment or something that might motivate or challenge someone to try something new in a healthy way, or to go for their goals, or to shoot for a dream they didn't think is possible. So just keep that in mind. And then also, don't always try to copy someone else. You want to truly be you. A big piece of advice that a lot of influencers and content creators give are like, you need to only follow certain trends, and you need to just copy someone else's content but make it your own. It can be good to do different trends for sure. A popular song, a popular reel, that's going to help you with your overall engagement and views. But you also need the content to be true to you, because what's going to make you stand out is your personal skill set, your looks, your personality, your niche, not just copying what everyone else is doing. Again, a little bit of that is okay. Yes, you can get an idea, but you don't want to be copying someone else as your main form of content. I don't think that's the best way to go about things. How do you mentally recover after a tough day or a bad workout? All right. This can be difficult for me sometimes. I am someone who is my own worst critic. I beat myself up a lot. But over the past few years, I've definitely learned to have grace on myself. And I know that it's normal to have bad days and shitty workouts. So I don't beat myself up for it, or I don't overthink the situation, or at least I try not to. Having grace on yourself is going to be vital, because not every day is going to be fantastic. Second thing I would say is I try to do something at night to calm me down or get my mind off of that scenario. I think this is a lot easier if you maybe live with a roommate, or you have a partner that you live with, or maybe even you just live with your family. But if you don't, and like me, if you're in my situation, you have to learn, again, as we talked about with the anxiety thing and the intrusive thoughts, how to self-regulate after a tough day or a bad workout, because no one's going to be sitting there and helping you or calming you down, or it's just not going to happen. So what I like to do is watch something that makes me laugh or feel good, or I'll listen to music, listen to some house music or some rap or just music that makes me smile. If I'm feeling super frustrated after a tough day, I like to go box. I mean, I think it's really fun to just hit the bag sometimes, listen to like some real good trap music and just hit that bag. I'm going to feel at least 1% better after. Or I'll dance. That's another thing I'll do too. I try to make light of every situation. I try to celebrate even in the hard times. And I do believe that life is really about learning how to find joy in hard moments. There is always beauty in the struggle. And once you learn that, your perspective will change drastically for the better. And then last question, what is the biggest misconception people have about your lifestyle? I really like this question and I wanted to include it because y'all know we keep it real, okay? So I think that a lot of people get the idea that I'm out here living the dream. Like, oh, this girl's out here in Miami doing photo shoots, working for herself, living in a condo on the water, right? That must be the dream. That must be so awesome. Reality is these things are true. But this is definitely not my dream. I'm in the process of building my dreams. Reality is I'm away from my family. I'm away from my friends. I'm dealing with some not so fun and glamorous parts of running a business. And being a young female entrepreneur in a city that still feels super unfamiliar to me, even after 3 years, is challenging. However, knowing that I'm in the process, we'll say in the in between, keeps me going and keeps me motivated. So I'm super grateful to be where I'm at. I'm super grateful to live here. I'm super grateful to get to do what I do every single day. And I just feel like a lot of people need to understand life is not always what it seems on social media. And that's why I think podcast platforms can be so uplifting and honest, because you're just really telling it how it is, or at least you should be. And again, that's what I try to do. So overall, super grateful, but this is just part of my story. You know, I have my struggles just like everyone else. So that's a good thing to remember. So that's all for today's questions. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. I really hope that you enjoyed today's episode and learned something new. If there's any question that I didn't get to or anything that you'd like for me to go over, the best way to reach out to me is just by sending me a direct message on Instagram to connect more, to send in that question. Or if you are interested in one-on-one training or nutrition coaching, I would absolutely love to help you. I am taking new online clients. Best Instagrams are at Yo It's Kenslow. That's at YOITSKENSLO or at Curls and Courage Podcast on IG. I'd love for you guys to follow those two accounts. Also, it would mean the world to me if you guys don't mind rating and reviewing today's show. If you liked it, any major podcast platform would be wonderful. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. All you have to do is scroll down, leave the show a couple stars, hopefully five, and leave a review of what you thought and what you'd like to see next. Also encourage you guys to follow the YouTube channel, really trying to push that channel here in the next couple of months. That's at Kinsley Meeks. And then lastly, catch the podcast every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time on WDJY 99.1 FM. I will leave the link for that platform in the show notes as well. Until then, y'all keep prioritizing your mental and physical health. Stay true to yourself and let's keep growing together. I'll talk to y'all next week. Appreciate y'all. Bye.